employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruz. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today is the last Tuesday of the month, not the first Tuesday of the month, so I thought I'd throw a curveball or a knockdown pitch at the Laundry House Gang, because last time I think I had him on the second or the third Tuesday. So I thought I'd get him in early. And basically I have a Laundry House member with me here. Al, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent.
I
guess I'm the only one without a life and got time to come to the radio.
Okay, Mr. Laundry House member. Ye with no life.
Yeah.
So I had on yesterday, I had Adam Crum, candidate for governor. And he was endorsed by the Alaska Outdoor Council. Describe what the Alaska Outdoor Council is. You used to be the Fairbanks guy,
yeah,
you know, decade plus ago.
So the Alaska Outdoor Council, you know, has many things that they're involved with. You know, we generally want to support and find new opportunities for access. We want to. We have member clubs like the airboaters and the jet water skiers and type.
What about the Chena River floaters at Composo?
Yeah, you know, they're floaters. They're trying to organize, and you know,
Right. Compo doesn't sell boats anymore.
Yeah, and so Access. They're involved with the fish and game process. You know, they're always putting in comments there, making sure we're meeting sustained yield. We have plenty of opportunity as Alaskans to get out and enjoy these resources that we have. And they're also involved legislatively to protect, you know, our access to the land and mm-hmm. to the resources. And so, you know, it takes quite a bit, and we're fundraising because, you know, we're every now and then we have to challenge something in court.
Or you're battling environmental groups.
And battling environmental groups. So that all takes funds, and so we do a lot of fundraising and membership drives and. And so it's a pretty important NGO group that's, you know, for all Alaskans. We don't really separate out, and you know, there's still support even for, you know, non-residents being able to participate. We don't exclude that opportunity for them neither. We just make sure our resources are managed to allow for those uses.
Choosing who you're going to endorse for governor out of the 17, 18 candidates, is there a process that the AOC has?
Yeah, so I don't get involved so much since I was appointed to the board in 2010 the first time. Wasn't able to make it through confirmation.
Jen Uhas is in the room.
Excellent. And so I had to resign my seat so I wasn't in conflict with AOC participating in the board. And doing that back then, I've not gotten into the behind the scenes of how the Outdoor Council selects. I'm not on any of those committees and interview those candidates to see who may not be, you know, getting an endorsement from the Alaska Outdoor Council.
Jen, anything to contribute on how they go about giving an endorsement to the AOC?
Well, their board meets, and they used to have a separate PAC back when I was executive director. And so
you are the executive director of the AOC.
Yeah.
Okay.
I took the job there so I could run the.
You're wearing an SCI hat.
I am, because I'm the VP of the Northern Alaska SCI chapter. But it's just like anything. There's just a board of people, and endorsements are going to be as educated as the people on the board are about the issues.
Okay. Are you on the board currently?
Nope.
She says that affirmatively. So they endorsed Adam Crum. Any comments?
Not touching it.
I thought it was a fair endorsement. I wasn't there for the whole process. I thought there was probably a couple other candidates that could have been also endorsed, but
did the only one endorse
any of that committee?
You should ask their board. I mean,
do I have their board in a purple pad room at this moment?
No.
I do have the past executive director and the past Fairbanks guy.
Okay, but I mean, after I was executive director, I was getting calls for 5 years. Oh, they're doing this. You got to fix it. Oh, they're doing that. Oh, Jen, they're going off course here. And it's like, what do you want me to do?
I know. Boy, do I know that feeling. Oh, so do you? Do they have a good process overall?
I don't know. Not on the board. Ask somebody from the board. Maybe they'll call in.
Have they changed the process since you were on the board?
Yes, they used to have a separate PAC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we had a PAC, a fund, and the 501c4 board. So the fund was a C3, and then the PAC was the 7.
Boy, I'm getting a lot of "I'm not touching this with a 10-foot pole" comments here, but I know that feeling.
I mean, if somebody asks you, how did the mayor make a decision? You're going to go, I don't know.
Nor do I care.
How much does it cost to move cars?
I don't know, nor do I care.
Ask
Compo. He doesn't have a job. Oh, there's Compo.
He's retired, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, Craig.
Hey.
We're talking about the AOC and how they endorse Adam Crum. Do you know anything about that?
No, I'm sure this wealth of knowledge on my right.
On the board. Like, ask some. We just went through the whole I'm not on the board. Ask somebody on the board. Maybe they'll call in.
I do have a question for Al.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I was fishing in Pelican with my cousin who was born here in 1954, when still a territory, obviously. And I got to thinking, you know what? We limit residents, and Lawton residents are limited more on what they can take and when and so forth. I think we should get an extra fish or two to anybody that was born here during the territory, because they don't have that many left.
You know, that was decided by the Zobels on the permanent fund dividend. There's no longevity bonus.
It's not longevity necessarily.
Yes, that's a longevity bonus.
Yeah, so.
But I like it. I'm just already slapping.
Of course, you wouldn't benefit, even though you were born in
the
50s.
I don't eat fish, but yeah, born here in 59.
It's right on when you were born here and how long thing. But, we've got those other systems, right, that your score is higher, or how long have you utilized meat from this herd. So it's like if they've consistently gotten a fish, then you might be able to get away with that, but not it'd be the same correlation that David just brought up.
And would you have to be a resident then? Like, you were born out of state, but you're not a resident. Like, he's not a resident anymore. But I just thought of those people, and there's not
so
that many
of them. You're trying to give our fish away to foreigners.
I'm trying to give it. He's
a foreigner now.
Alaskan
resident. He made a choice to live somewhere else.
I want Al's opinion.
It'd be an enforcement nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good opinion.
Yeah. To show your birth.
So I know you're going to have to take a break, but then I have an enforcement story for you.
Fairbanks,
like
we're going
to
take a commercial break. Jenny, she often is a host on this, so she knows what we have to do and when. But she also knows when you come back from break, you better have a good story. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
We're here with charter captain Josh Hughes, and you go out to the Gulf a lot. You fish a lot of different areas, but can you speak to a private charter captain that may want to go fishing if they go out to the Gulf, number one, and then maybe if they don't have the engine power to get out to the Gulf.
Right, or the big enough
boats.
Yeah,
how do you choose the location? What are some good spots for a private person to fish?
Sure. Well, in general, if I were dropping names, once you get out into the Valdez Arm, you've got Glacier Island area that is good. Bly Reef and the outside of Bly is good. In those areas, I like to go deep, right? 300 to 500 feet deep. If you're headed over to the further to the east towards Cordova, you know, Knoll's Head, Redhead, often those are the far spots for the small boats. You can have some really good fishing over by Knoll's Head.
How hard is it for somebody who just shows up in Valdez with a boat to be successful fishing out of Port Valdez?
I don't think it's hard to catch fish. I think it's hard to catch big fish. So getting out there and anchoring your boat, if you will just anchor a boat and put bait on a hook, you'll catch fish. In general, it's really good.
Call Fish Central and get out on the water to catch fish and fill your freezer this summer. Fish Central can hook you up with charter reservations or a rental boat and give you the advice you need to navigate the local waters. Once you've caught your limit, Fish Central can process your fish too. Book with Fish Central and get 10% off your processing. Visit fishcentral.net or call 907-835-5002 to book your fishing adventure today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 64. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 45. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 70. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. You're listening to many of the Laundry House Gang. Now we have Craig Compo, Al, Jen Uhas. But now, Jen, we're going to talk about an incident you were involved in.
I know.
On
I was in
Saturday.
It was Friday because we had Friday. The day off.
That's
you were
right.
Working.
That's right.
And your lovely other half invited me for a float down the river.
So is she a co-conspirator in this?
No, she was aware. She was aware. So,
oh.
She was aware before we departed. But the story is, I told your lovely other half, I can't believe I was just on the radio telling everybody to be safe out there and bring a life jacket. And, you know, I'm part of a group that stocks the life jackets at the parks.
Let's set the yeah. stage. You were floating the river.
So
where'd you get in at?
So we get in at Grail Park.
Where are we going to get out at?
We're going to get out at Pike's and have a lovely meal.
And he had my next door neighbor bring you over there.
Yes.
And drop you off and pick you up.
And, okay, here's where I made the mistake, listeners. I told everybody, make sure you've got a life jacket, all the rest of that. So we get down to the river, and we bring my inflatable paddleboard, good sturdy craft, and for the story here, I'm chained to it, right? I got one of those ankle things. And,
I'm chained to it.
Well, you know, yeah. So I'm attached to
You're affixed to it.
I'm affixed to it, not just sitting on it. And it is inflatable, right? It is.
Yeah.
So it is a flotation device. But they said, do you have an extra jacket? And I was like, yeah, no, I don't. And, you know, listeners, I could have gone over to the board, and I chose not to. This was not thinking, just thinking, you know, I'm a lifeguard. My dad was Coast Guard. It's the Chena. I'm on a paddle board, and I didn't bring one. First time ever.
I know Spencer.
You have an ankle line attached to it.
Exactly. So, you know, the boats are running up and down the river, as my friend Compo calls us, floaters, are in the channel. And every time we hear a boat, we get out of the middle of the channel, you know, let the boats pass. So we see another boat coming up. Emily and I go over to a little shore there, and they come over and say, do you have a flotation device? And I said, yeah. He's like, I'm sitting on one. And they're like, yeah, not good enough. And so we have this whole conversation, right? And the new gal out there saying, you know, safety, yes, I do understand, you know, and you know, I was just thinking, I'm on the paddleboard.
Waiting for a warning.
Well, no. But so we go through this whole process. It takes about 20 minutes to write me the ticket. I'm kind of a chatterbox. It's 10 a.m. And, you know, Emily says, you know, I can't believe that they did that. Well, you know, they're pulling people over really looking for worse behavior, like making sure nobody's drunk on the river, right? You know,
No, open containers.
You know, open containers, checking for stuff like that, you know, which we were
So they're fishing.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the funny
Couple
part.
Hooks.
Here's the funny part. So they give me the ticket, and I say, I'm looking around, and I go, so what do I do now? And they're both looking at me like, you got your ticket. And I'm thinking to myself, if this was a drunk driver, you don't just put him back on the road. I just had a 20-minute lecture on safety. You're not putting me back on the river, are you? So I'm looking at them like, uh-huh. And I say, well, do you have authorization to take me back to one of the parks and get a jacket? And they're kind of looking at me like, oh, I guess she would need a jacket, or otherwise we can't let her back out on the river, right? Because I joked. I said, you know, is this a fix-it ticket? They're like, no. But it's like, we're having this whole conversation of like, you're not going to, after the whole lecture on safety, you're not going to just let me back on the river, right? So they look at each other.
Yeah, they're going to give you a second ticket.
Right? So, I mean, it's we got a fence behind us. We're not like next to a park. We got private property on the other side of the river. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I got my ticket, but if it's all about safety, I can't get back on the river, right? So they think for a sec after I say, are you authorized to take me up to one of the parks so I can get a jacket? They're like, and they open their little bin. And now here's the thing. I could not see entirely into the bin, but they said, no, we can give you one. And they both kind of hesitated, and I thought, now is not the time to argue with them, but did they just give me their life? Are they now in violation? Because I kind of...
Were they not wearing one?
They weren't wearing them.
Okay. Oh.
But you just have to have them. You don't have to have them on.
And they have to fit.
Yeah, and I have before. I've got like this little seat that's a flotation device that, you know, I just couldn't find it, and whatever. I'm on a floating paddleboard. I guess people have gotten tickets floating in inner tubes, like some of the forestry folks. Like, you're in an inner tube, but you still need a life jacket. But... you guys brought up a good point at the break. My point is, I kind of want to go over and talk to DPS and say, so did you guys learn anything when you did my contact? Like, you don't let the person back out there without one, and you guys kind of need to have enough in your own boat. But Al and Craig brought up a really good point about standing on the bank in hip waders, standing on chitna. You don't need a life jacket for those dangerous activities, but apparently you need one in an inner tube or on a floating paddle raft.
In a foot of water, yeah.
And it's a $120 lesson if you don't take today's airwave lesson.
Mm. You know, there's the second half of the story. Me being their pit crew, meet them at the Botel. Nice sunny day. And Jan had some good attitude. Pissed.
Oh, come on.
Very smart in regulation. How am I going to foil this? How am I going to, how am I going to win?
I never, you guys are making stuff up.
No, you were quite animated. Elevated.
Where do you put your citation so it doesn't get wet and smeared all up before you get home?
In your waterproof fanny pack.
Oh.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not a paddleboarder.
But anyway. But, but overall she was just laughing about it. You know, and she's saying the whole time, I just got off your radio show.
Telling everybody to wear a life jacket.
It was one of those do as I say, not as I do moments. And then she's going, I'm a lifeguard. My dad was in the Coast Guard.
Yep.
I can't believe I got a ticket.
Well, more disappointed in myself, right? Like, I know better. Yeah. And it is that lifeguard.
That was your elevation.
Yeah. It was like, you know, what the hell's wrong with me?
Ready for a phone call?
Let's do it.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Laundry House Gang, and your name is?
Nathan.
Nathan, how you doing?
Good. So I just have to say that most of the regulatory regulations don't make sense. It would be, say, equal to having to wear a seatbelt, but motorcycle riders don't have to wear a helmet.
You know, that's a good analogy. And, you know, but earlier, before the other two members of the Laundry House Gang got in here and we were on the air, Al said something very intuitive. He says, what happens is when you write a regulation, you don't think about the outcome or consequences what this will do to the opposite side or the opposite effect. And he's correct in that. So, yeah, you have to wear a seatbelt, but you know, you don't have to wear a helmet probably because of a good big motorcycle lobby.
And the issue is that is because I'm almost certain that regulation was enacted by a committee for public safety, and there's really no public process for challenging or amending or creating new regulations. And it's not like a board of fish or a board of game or board of realtors regulation where there, you know, people have input to it. It's just a select group of officers that decide, you know, we want to have an anti-spray device on every vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's no different.
You know what an anti-spray device is?
Not a bit.
It's a mud flap.
Oh.
And it's
well,
no.
I learn every day.
No different than the same way they when they were discussing probably the initiation of DEF fluid for trucks. They didn't think about the guy driving up outside of Yukon territories at 42 below. 40 miles from anybody when it goes out, but you know, it's good for the environment.
So. Any other thoughts on that, sir?
Just remember the regulations. It's not actually breaking any sort of law.
Yeah, you're there. Exactly. You go. You take care. Thank you for the phone call. So, who here has written regulations, Al?
No, I haven't written one yet.
I have. How you know? Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, Real Estate, Alaska Real Estate Commission. However, you have to bring them through your body that's overseeing you, which is that's the Department of Licensing, Occupational Licensing. And
I've suggested language for regulations, but a regulation specialist and an assistant attorney general actually
usually do it.
Up.
Yeah.
And the lieutenant governor signs off on that.
And then
you never wrote any before you were on the board?
Wrote any regulations?
Yeah.
I've drafted some, but
now I've had some removed.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I've had some reviewed.
For every one we write, we should get rid of three.
I like that ratio.
Actually,
like
the governor has an executive order out, EO 360, yep. And anybody listening who thinks of unnecessary regulations, there's a similar federal order for from the president on that, but both administrations are looking to identify not just waste, fraud, and abuse, but unnecessary regulations and repeal them.
Yeah. Hmm. Compo, you've been silent today. What's up?
Oh, not a whole lot. I was just thinking if Al had dogs, he should name them May and Shall. Because he's always, those are the two words he's always looking at the hardest.
May is you don't have to, shall is you will.
Yeah. Yeah. They're oftentimes they're in the wrong place. But
you know, I'm going to go look at the regulation on Life Fest and crafts and see what I can dig up.
You've opened a Pandora's box, Jen. Good for you,
usually,
House.
Usually there's Jen's always a loophole. And why I say that is many, many years ago, like 20 years ago, my wife, we were down to one vehicle. It's December. I have three smaller children back then. And her vehicle's broke down, so she has to use my pickup truck. And I just have an 84 Ford F-250 or 150, and it's got three seat belts on, you know, one bench seat in there.
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't wearing hers. My two youngest daughters were probably 6 and 8 or something. You know, were in one seat belt, and my son was on the other seat belt. Long story short, she got a ticket, you know, from a city cop that she didn't have a seat belt, and she had two people in one seat belt, and considered that a violation. So I went and read the regulations on seat belts. And it doesn't stipulate if it's for one person or more. So I told the judge, well, first of all, they wouldn't let me testify or, you know, represent my wife. And I said, well, you just let that officer before that wasn't a part of that guy's speeding ticket because the real officer's on vacation. He says, sign Mr. Barrett in. They swore me in and we said, you know, we're not guilty. And here's why. And, you know, and after the officer gave his 5-minute
dissertation
on how many certificates he has on judging speed and Satan car seats and whatnot, the judge asked him and said, well, is that true? And the cop said, well, it's just common sense. And I said, well, it's not what we're here on. We're here on law.
Yeah.
And if the law doesn't stipulate that you can't do it, you can do it.
Fairbanks.
So he dismissed it.
There, nice.
Yay. There's a victor for the good guys.
Should have had a seatbelt on your floaty.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
Coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming
live at KFARradio.com.
Fox News,
I'm John Saucier. The Supreme Court rejecting President Trump's executive order that was aimed at ending birthright citizenship for children born to non-citizens in the U.S. House Democratic Caucus Chair Pete Aguilar celebrating this decision.
Republicans are not serious about this issue. It's always been about politics, and we'll see how the president, you know, responds to this, but I'm sure he'll, you know, there'll be a couple hundred words that he'll put out. This was the right decision. The crazy part is that it wasn't a unanimous decision.
Republicans have argued birthright citizenship encourages non-citizens to travel to the U.S. and give birth in order to secure citizenship for their children. Aid groups warning Venezuela's healthcare system is at a breaking point after these two powerful earthquakes hit. Damaged hospitals are overwhelmed. Conditions in the disaster zone are getting worse. The government death toll is now up over 1,900, with even more bodies being found. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports an official with the $50 billion Alaska LNG mega project last Thursday said that the leak of a confidential document to Alaska senators is under internal investigation and could have far-reaching implications for the project. Frank Richards, the head of the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation, said the release of the internal document could hurt the corporation's relationship with Glenfarne, the project developer, and signal to future investors that Alaska can't be trusted. He also worried that the leak might hurt the prospects of achieving a reasonable tax break for the project. He said it's very unfortunate that this document has been released. Glenfarne owns 75% of the Alaska LNG project following an ownership transfer from the State Gasline Corporation last year. The State Gasline Corporation owns the rest. News of the release of the document to senators was first reported by the Alaska Beacon last Thursday. The document was seen by some senators, but not all, the Beacon reported.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizzas for $6. Customer Appreciation Day is today at Gapco. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizza for $6.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Our veterans and fishermen are vital to Alaska's well-being. And Senator Dan S. Sullivan has been fighting for them. Retired Navy SEAL Lottie Shaw.
Senator Sullivan, as a veteran, goes above and beyond the call of duty. Pay raises for the active duty community and bringing about better health care for the veterans in our rural community. Senator Sullivan really leads the way on behalf of veterans in the state.
And fighting for those like Bristol Bay fisherman Mike Ferris.
I think every fishery is affected by bycatch right now. I appreciate Senator Sullivan introducing the Bycatch Reduction and Research Act so we thoroughly understand what's going on with these fisheries, not only supporting me, but my family and future generations.
Call and tell Senator Sullivan to keep fighting to protect our veterans and fishermen. 907-271-5915. Paid for by One Nation. OneNationAmerica.org.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Jen Uhas, Al Barrett, and Craig Campo, all of the Laundry House gang in the studio here with me. How you all doing?
Excellent.
Dandy.
So, the Alaska Outdoor Council endorsed for governor Adam Crum. My question is, does anyone know which senatorial candidate they endorsed? Was it Decoy Dan J. Sullivan or the real McCoy Daniel S. Sullivan?
Did they make an endorsement in that race? I didn't see one.
We're going to take a phone call first. I want you to ponder that. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Good morning. My name's Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Your 3 guests will recognize my voice.
Oh, that's Quinn.
Yeah.
I want to return to the beginning of the show where you mentioned the Alaska Outdoor Council, and then you just mentioned it now. So according to online information, the AOC took an online poll of who the members supported for governor. I don't remember that. I only saw it recently. So maybe if it was February, that's when it was. But anyway, according to the poll, the members supported Dave Bronson, but the board ended up supporting Adam Crum. So I guess none of your guests are board members, but I'm curious as to why the board decided to go with Adam after the members supported Dave. And I'll hang up and listen.
No, don't hang up.
Yeah, don't hang up, Grant.
Because we got no way to, we got nothing to, I don't know why. Do you know why?
That's like asking
me. Yeah, Mike, do you know why?
That's like asking me why Mike Quinn wrote an op-ed.
No.
Well, no, Mike, do you have any insider trading on this?
I don't.
Oh, man.
Well, almost I do, but the person who might be my insider training doesn't want to speak today.
Uh-huh.
I asked him. So, I'm bringing it up because that's what I saw. Excuse me. Turn the radio down. That's what I saw on the internet, which of course was Facebook.
Oh, you read that on the internet.
Of course, it must be true.
Well,
okay, Mike, who do you think they should endorse? Daniel, Decoy Dan?
No.
Jay Sullivan out of Petersburg or the real McCoy, Daniel S. Sullivan out of Fairbanks and Anchorage?
Well, okay, so I'll speak as a paid AOC member. I think they should endorse the real
McCoy.
S. Sullivan, yeah. If they're going to do a Senate candidate endorsement, it should be him.
I concur.
Okay, well, I'll let you guys get away.
Mike, thank you for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it. Really do. So much, but God, we still don't know really what happened.
I think some
people know, but they just won't speak.
Well, I mean, they'll sit in a group, but you know, with the protection of a group, but then they won't justify their own decisions. I mean, you have to deal with that all the time, Al. And you know, a board makes a decision, and you have a vote, and yours is public, and then you have to justify it, and people ask you why, and then you have to be a stand-up guy and explain it.
Well, that's because he's on a state governed body.
Oh,
I wouldn't
say
governed, but a state appointed body.
Well,
I just thought of a new defense.
A nude defense?
New defense. Oh. You know, because you just mentioned that, and people make light of it all the time. Oh, you read that on the internet. How true can that be?
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
You know, I read that you need life jackets on a watercraft on the internet. Is that really true, that what I read then?
No.
Well.
Just on a floating, yeah.
I love me some Al Barrett, but then we get into all dogs are pigs, but not all pigs are dogs. And, you know, is it correlative or?
Shall and may.
Yeah, I mean.
And will and may and maybe. Get into minutia. So, Craig.
Yes.
I know that Jen, because this is a political question, will not answer this.
I answer a lot of political questions.
No, you did not answer this last time. I do this all the time. I'm Lotto Dave, and the Lotto question is for you to win. You have to give me in the order that they rank the governor. I know, but who's your four now?
Oh, it changes all the time.
I know. Exactly.
It really does. I would probably, if I had to roll the dice and just there was four in my hand, and I think the way they would shake out would be Bronson.
Top?
What?
Top?
No, I'm just saying way they would show out. I like Adam Crum.
Mm-hmm.
You like Adam Crum for Final Four, or you just like Adam Crum?
Yeah, I like Adam Crum.
Bronson and Crum.
I'll put Bishop in there
mm-hmm.
for a different reason, but and I like.
This isn't who you like. This is
and
who
then
you
who's
think.
Your,
I know.
And who's your Dem?
Yeah, yeah. Do you have to have a Dem?
I think with so many R's, you're going to get one Dem.
Maybe two. Yeah.
I think Begich takes the old party guard. JKT. The old party guard and some of the people in the party, right? But I think JKT takes more of the actual voters at a poll for the Dems.
You know, I'm just going to look at name recognition. And I'm going to, you know.
They don't know which Begich they're voting for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you have Walker involved now.
Yeah, I'm not.
He knocks out JKT.
He's not on my list.
Period. Yeah. JKT is from Ketchikan. That's about as far away from Fairbanks, Anchorage, Barrow as you can get.
Yeah.
He does not have name recognition in 98% of the state. Walker's name recognition throughout the state. Bronson, good, bad, or indifferent, or ugly as a mayor, he has name recognition throughout the state. Begich, he has name recognition throughout the state, even though it's not because of Tom Begich.
That leaves me one more.
And that would be Bishop.
He said click, yeah.
Yeah, but that's my name. So those are my four. Begich, Bronson, Walker, Bishop.
I'll be
whether I'm going to vote for one of them or not.
Walker,
you never know. But those are my four because of name recognition and the regions they're from. That's all it is.
But are you saying about who you predict would win or who you prefer would win?
Predict. Okay. That's all this is about, predict.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now
I want to
listen to Al's logic behind this.
Yeah.
Behind your picks?
No, behind your – it's not who you like. It's not who you like.
Yeah, we've already been through this. I can't explain someone else's logic.
Yeah. It's who would you, Al, predict?
Begich, Bronson. Click. Now I'm going to go with Crum.
Okay.
I'm going to go with one thing, though, here. Somebody called me recently about whether or not they should make an endorsement for somebody and whether or not it would get them over the edge. And that, you know, so we walked through the idea of it. My advice to this person was it was a person. It could be a double endorsement. It was a person and an entity. And he said, well, if that is your preferred candidate and you do think that your endorsement will get them over the hump in the primary, why withhold that? Don't withhold it if you really think it will.
Yeah.
If you don't think it will, then what are you doing? When the question is who isn't running for governor, it's a shorter list. Then why would you do that if it's not going to help them?
Yeah.
Unless it's just out of loyalty and friendship. But if you really think you're going to pull them an extra 1,000 votes and it's going to get them over the hump, don't withhold it.
Yeah.
Matt Hala has the best campaign commercial so far, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hear that, Tom?
He had a really good one.
Tom Wright, if you're listening, did you hear that?
Yeah. So, but, you know, anyone who comes on this, you know, I ask them to, especially if they're a political candidate, I say, are you the real Matt Hala? Are you the AI Matt Hala? You
know? you were talking about if they really like Peltola's commercial.
Yeah.
She says it's not that they're not paying $10 a gallon gas. It's that they don't even feds don't even believe us. I go, you know, if you were more than 40%, present.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they'd take you a little more serious.
And weren't you down there for 3 years?
Uh-huh.
A year and a half.
Maybe your
removed.
Credibility is shot because you see what I'm saying? There's a song there.
You guys don't want cheaper groceries and not having to lug your fuel back to your house and have more fish? I mean,
newsflash, they do this in Fairbanks too, Mary. They haul their fuel by 5-gallon jugs.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to listen to a song that was written, produced, and recorded in Fairbanks, Alaska.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey, Grandpa, will you tell us a story about the winter of 2026? It was one of the coldest winters in 100 years. When summer came, everyone was so happy until they tried to use the AC in their car. The refrigerants in those days could leak out in extreme cold, and no one would know it until summer finally came. Then people discovered that their AC wasn't working and they were too hot. They were told they had to wait 3 to 4 months to get a service appointment at most dealerships, except for the people that went to Fairbanks Nissan. Even in those days, Fairbanks Nissan worked on all makes, not just Nissans. So if you didn't want to wait until summer was over to get your AC fixed, that was the best place to take your car, even if it wasn't a Nissan. People would just schedule their speedy appointments online at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Frontier Outfitters. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Weather brought to you by Great Harvest Bread Company. Biscuits, bagels, and sandwiches so good you need them. Skip the snooze. Your breakfast is waiting for you at Great Harvest at the corner of Airport Way and Wilbur.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Today, with daytime highs approaching 64. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows around 45. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 70. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, live from KFAR Studio in the Purple Padded Room. It's Craig Compo and his newest song.
Hey, I just want to preface this. So this is a song that was just a short little ditty designed to remind people the difference between Dan S. Sullivan and Dan J. Sullivan. Dan S. being the incumbent, retired Marine, all that stuff. And then the goofball from where is he at?
Petersburg.
Petersburg. Okay, this is a song called Decoy Dan.
Decoy Dan. Decoy Dan switched his party to take on an honest man. He's a puppet for Peltola, and his whole campaign's a scam. With the IQ of a smoked Virginia ham. Now the Sullivan we all know, 30 years of proud Marine, always fighting for a working hard for you and me. And the rumor is it's Schumer who came up with Decoy Dan. So just remember.
Just remember.
Dan S. Sullivan, when you're voting for a man. And if it makes it easier, another way to make it work is when you think of Dan J. Sullivan, just remember
J for jerk.
Just remember J for jerk. Oh, there you go. So, got to remember that because, you know, there's a lot of people that intend to vote for the right guy and then they get in there and they either don't read the word incumbent or they're in a rush. And they...
Actually, I think everyone should just forget the signs, you know, saying, you know, Sullivan at the corners of the, you know, for 3 days out. Just have one big letter, S.
Yeah.
Just S. Everyone just have S.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I think I just want to 36 by 24 sign that says S on it. It's all I want. It's all I need. S.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens. But, you know, the whole idea is 4 or 5 points they take. You know, it's just he's got to spend all his money now fighting this goofball. So, anyway.
So, hey, okay. What are you doing over July 4th weekend, Jen Uhas?
Chores. We're trying to move back into our house getting built.
Oh. Well, how about that? It's been a year, hasn't it?
Not quite yet.
You've actually, it's been very admirable on how fast you've reconstructed.
It was small, so yeah. That money doesn't go that fast.
I know.
You're a realtor, you know.
I know. That's why it's very admirable. Al Barrett, what are you doing over the 3-day weekend?
What was that, a 3-day weekend? No, I'm in the private sector.
So am I. But, you know, okay, what are you doing over the 3-hour weekend?
I don't think very much at all. I got to figure my schedule out on smoking fish, and then I think I might plan something for next weekend. Maybe go out to Harding Lake with the camper or something.
Mr. C, what are you thinking about doing?
I'm going to Sunday. What is Saturday?
Oh, yeah. Saturday is July 4th. Yeah. Yes, my mom's birthday.
I got both my daughters in town right now. I got the grandkids here. We're going to go pull them around on a tube with life jackets on at Harding Lake. then I'm heading down on the 5th to Chitna to go dip some fish. And I talked to Tinker. He said I said should I go on the 2nd or the 5th? He goes, go on the 5th. He said the water might be down by then. It had come up 30 inches and about took his fish wheel away. So we decided to put it off and go down on a little bit after. It's supposed to be, it had been cooling a bit, so it might drop the water.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
Good numbers of fish just last, you know, Monday morning.
Are they are?
Yeah.
Let's go for the month of July. What would you recommend people doing outdoors? That not what you're going to do, Jen Uhas, but what would you recommend people do?
Mushroom hunting.
Psilocybin or
no, morels.
Al,
cut firewood. Fuel's going to be expensive.
Yes.
Where?
Is everywhere
state permitted area?
A forest.
It's going to be expensive everywhere.
Craig,
compo trail. I still tell people to get up there, go up there, and cut a little brush while you're up there. They're a little bit lax on that. Last time I was up there, they need to clear it a bit, but. Yeah, anyway, just get out, get on a trail, go somewhere, go get your ATV out, go see something.
My advice for everyone is to go somewhere that's hard to get, a town. And what I would do, I used to do this a lot. I used to go down to Homer and then go across to Seldovia. And neat little town, just neat little town.
Name a town that you haven't been to that you should have been to in Alaska. Mine's Anaktuvik Pass. I've never been there. Want to go there. Heard it's beautiful. Got a lot of customers there. I've never been there.
Hope,
Alaska.
Yeah.
How about Jen?
It has to be a town?
No.
Or a location. But a town. A town. Yeah, a village, a community.
I don't know. See McCarthy if you haven't seen it.
Al?
St. Mary's.
Ah.
That's getting out there.
Yeah.
The Andreshka. They got a couple bag boost limit out there, so.
Yeah.
Well, Cold Bay is amazing.
You know, I like Jen's answer of McCarthy. I've been there twice, and that's just a neat town community to go to.
Bring a bicycle.
I did that. The best bicycle ride I ever had in my life. I mean, the best one I ever had. It took me about an hour and a half, 2 hours to go from the town of McCarthy up to the lodge.
10 minutes back?
Yeah. Oh, it was even better than that. It was raining on the way up. You know, you drive from Fairbanks, Alaska, go through Chitna, and you're saying to yourself, I will not be denied. I'm going to bike up to that thing. So I go up there, I pull off all my rain gear, and who do I see? Senator Murkowski and her husband. Oh, hi. You know, the last people I expected to see. So then I put on my rain gear, and I went down that mountain in the mud. And it was the most wild bicycle fun ride I ever had. And by the time I got down, I was so covered with mud. You know, I was in this hotel, And he didn't have a private bath. He had a community bathroom with shower. And I went in there, excuse me, and I went into the shower with my rain gear on. I mean, it took me 45 minutes to get all the mud off the rain gear, off me.
You should have taken your bicycle.
Yeah, and cleaned up the bathroom when I was done. It took 45 minutes. But that was the neatest bicycle ride I've ever had in my life.
I've heard a lot of people tell me you can destroy a bathroom.
was the tram still in, or did you go through the footbridge?
I went through the footbridge. It had the bell there, you know, so you can get a vehicle on it, but you get your bicycle.
The first years I went to McCarthy.
Had the tram?
We had to tram ourselves back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, it was my third doll sheep hunt. Yeah. When I went and did that one, and yeah, it was something bringing two doll sheep back across that river, tramming yourself.
Then I came across this guy who I hadn't seen in 20 years, and he's he's working remote at a lodge, and this in town for the day, you know. So I ran across Chris and Pam Birch, you know, the late senator, and just you're going to run across people there that you know or you've not seen in a long, long time, and it's a hoot. I mean, it's just a hoot.
I never met anybody. I've shot two sheep, four goats, and a bison down there. It's a good place. Hang out.
Murderous pig. Yeah. Oh. So, Jen, what else is on your mind?
Boy.
How'd the SCI meeting go last night?
It went fantastic, and we had about 35 people there, four new members. And I love seeing the little kids coming in, wanting to touch the horns and listen to things. A few new people there that hadn't hunted a lot, a few people that have but haven't hunted sheep. I was also thinking, you know, after Emily and I did our float and we ended up down at Pike's, you know, there's a lot going on down there. And Jay gave us a little tour of some of the new stuff that he's got going on there with his wellness stuff and his salt cave. And just a reminder that there's an extra public access boat launch down there. And folks are pretty much, you know, he hasn't mandated anything, but he's kind of encouraging the motorboats to go down to the downriver end and have the floaters, as Craig calls us, use the main one that's right there floaters. By the parking lot. But there's a lot of space there, and it wasn't overcrowded. It was a great place to stop.
I just got a text. The question is, without a boat, where is a good place to fish for northern pike in Fairbanks? Without a boat.
Any of the ponds, around Greer and back in there. And then another good place to fish from the shoreline is, I don't know, it's where the second houseboats are or river boats are that used to also barge up and down the river. You know, what's that?
Yeah.
That little side channel right there. That thing's full of pike.
It
right
is.
There.
Sometimes I haven't done it in a few years, but that's where I go. And what you do is you're right next to the bridge, and you're casting into the pond at the Parks Highway Bridge going over the Chena, which is right down from Compose.
Or end of a long dock on a sunny morning at Harding Lake.
Although, there you go.
They're out there, laying out there.
Oh, yeah, and that north side too. Holy mackerel.
Okay, person who texts me, you owe me. Okay, we got about a minute left. Al, what's on your mind?
I don't know. I'm getting ready to go back to work.
Hey, have you? I got to get you some of that sable fish. You said that you smoke it.
We smoke sable.
Got a bunch more smoked black cod. It was great.
We sell it down at Interior Fish Processors.
Who are you going to Chittenden with, Craig?
A buddy of mine, Ronaldo. He works over at the rescue mission.
I know.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
How long you guys been doing that?
We've done it 2 or 3 years in a row. I've done it with Jerry and Glenner before, but we're gonna try and scoot down there and see if we can't fill a cooler or two.
Now, Fairbanks, I got about 30 seconds left, but I'm going to tell you right now that on Friday, I'm not going to be in here because they're shutting down. You know, it's the holiday. But even though that happens, like the last time they decided to do this, they screwed up KFAR. I am going down to Talkeetna. Yeah. So I'm not going to be Rescue Dave this time.
Yeah.
So if you get an hour's worth of silence.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy it. That is right.
All right.
Yeah, because it's a rarity on KFAR, especially people like Craig Compo. Fairbanks, you have a great day. Craig, Al, Jen, thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow. And I have Joni
Skillbred.
Skillbred, and she is going to be giving a talk on what I don't know. But we'll see you tomorrow.
Well, that'll be a long talk.